First time certain item, please, item 1046.
Accept the Digital Equity Action Plan Year 2 Progress Report.
Colleagues, the Digital Equity Action Plan, or DEAP, as it's referred to, is a collaboration of the City of Portland, Multnomah County Library, and many community partners from the nonprofit, public, and private sectors. The plan was adopted by the Council in April of 2016, and today we're going to hear about progress during the two-year period of plan implementation. To date, the Digital Equity Action Plan activities have been purposeful and far-reaching across the entire county. In May of this year, we heard about some of the local activities and partnerships during the Digital Inclusion Network's presentation to Council for Digital Inclusion Week, and also at the 2018 Digital Inclusion Summit. Here to present the report on DEAP's second year are Community Technology Program Manager Julie Omelchuk and Program Coordinator Rebecca Gibbons with the Portland Office for Community Technology. Good morning and welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, and good morning, Commissioners. I'm Julie Omelchuk, and I'm with the Office for Community Technology. I'm here today with Rebecca and County Library staff, John, who are responsible for leading DEAP implementation and coordinating and supporting our community partners. We also have a few guests who will assist staff in presenting the Year 2 report, along with some of our DIN partners who asked to provide testimony in support of our efforts. I believe you have a copy of the DEAP 2 progress report in front of you. Digital equity and inclusion have become familiar terms and a topic of discussion for many of us. It has become a priority for the city and the county, and for many social service agencies, educators, and businesses, because it intersects so much of what we do, the services we design and deliver, the way we communicate and engage, and how we grow and prosper. This intersectionality touches every facet of the city's work and makes our leadership and the partnership with the county all the more relevant and important. Just yesterday, I was at the Smart City Steering Committee meeting where we heard about Metro's new grant program focused on transportation technologies such as ride hailing, car and bike sharing, ride matching, microtransit, etc. And guess what? Most, if not all, of these transportation technologies require connectivity to access these services. I also recently attended the Grantmakers of Oregon and Southwest Washington Conference, a regional gathering for the philanthropic community. Funders, along with city partners such as the Office for Community and Civic Life, are gearing up for the 2020 census. This data gathering effort will have significant and long-term implications for the city and its residents. And guess what? The census will be conducted online, requiring connectivity to participate. The DEAP, backed by staff dedicated to facilitating and coordinating efforts, both internal and external to the city, has continued to guide the collective community approach for strategies and opportunities to address the digital divide. Rebecca and our other partners will share more specifically what year two has looked like for the DEAP.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Gibbons, the Digital Equity Program Coordinator with the Office of Community Technology. Specifically, in our second year of DEAP implementation, we continue to grow our network, leverage existing programs and infrastructure, and implement initiatives that align with the 17 strategic actions identified under the plan. Throughout the year, we reached out to organizations, both new and old and across sectors, to build awareness of the city and county's focus on the digital divide. As a result, the Digital Inclusion Network, or as we call it, the DIN, continues to meet monthly and bring new members into the fold. For example, Portland Youth Builders, Chick Tech, Catholic Charities, State of Oregon WIC program, Verizon, and Outside the Frame are just a few. Because we create space to have discussions and build awareness, the DIN members are able to place greater priority on this work. We know this because we've seen our partner organizations hiring new staff to support this work. The Library, Free Geek, and Metro East Community Media all hired new digital inclusion program staff this year. Garnering new funds, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission has been a significant funder of digital inclusion programs. The Library, Open Signal, and Pacific Northwest College of Art Make Think Code program were all community technology grant recipients for the projects that focused on digital literacy or workforce development. And Portland Public Schools is preparing to serve 700 students with home internet service because of a Sprint $1 million project award. And we're also seeing our partners designing and implementing new programs. PNCA Make Think Code, for example, is implementing STEM workshops specifically designed to involve more women and people of color as teachers and learners. The workshops will be video recorded to highlight the diversity of participants engaging in STEM skill explorations, so that young viewers watching from home can see themselves represented in the learning and working community. As a result of this and other project work, we are on track in all of our 17 strategic action areas, meaning we have an action underway with engaged partners and planned activities. There is a summary chart of this progress in the report before you today, and a more detailed description of activities is available on OCT's website. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is John Warona. I'm the Director of Content Strategy at the Multnomah County Library. One of our goals under the Digital Equity Action Plan is to hold an annual Digital Inclusion Summit that brings together a broad coalition of people who work to foster digital equity goals across our community. Our 2018 Digital Inclusion Summit was held in May, and we had over 120 participants representing 69 organizations, from government, education, healthcare, from community-based organizations to tech industry. The diversity of our organizations and participants is a reflection of the fact that digital equity is now recognized as a fundamental requirement to serve people, provide education, grow our economy, and have a healthy, thriving, and just society. DIN members from the Office of Community Technology, Multnomah County, and the Library led a dedicated group of DIN members, volunteers, from Open Signal and the Citizens Utility Board, N10, the State of Oregon WIC, Metro East Community Media, and PNCA. These people devoted countless hours of their time to help us organize and convene the first summit under the DEEP. Mayor Wheeler introduced our summit. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we featured keynote speeches from the Director of Libraries, Vailey Elke, and Multnomah County Chair, Deborah Kafouri, as well as a welcoming video message from Senator Ron Wyden. The theme of our Digital Inclusion Summit was economic development. We hosted three panel discussions on how digital equity impacts workforce pipeline development, on the impact of digital exclusion on health outcomes, and on how public policy can drive digital inclusion efforts. We had spirited discussions on all of our panels, and our summit participants, when surveyed after the event, expressed a lot of excitement and interest in the program, in connecting with other participants across disciplines and industries, and finding ways to move the goal of digital equity forward. We'd like to thank Open Signal for streaming our event live and Metro East Community Media for capturing stories and putting together this short video overview.
Equity and inclusion is really important in the city of Portland. We've recognized that we have a lot of underserved and vulnerable populations who don't have access to the internet, don't have affordable devices, and don't have the skills and the training to use those devices effectively.
The internet and access to the internet is fundamentally, at this point, no different than access to electricity in your home or water. And that's the biggest takeaway.
Digital inclusion is extremely important because the cost of digital exclusion is great. And as Mayor Wheeler said this morning, it even undermines our democracy.
You are fighting for democracy because, frankly, without addressing this digital divide and without addressing income disparity, democracy really isn't worth that much.
97% of people who search for jobs do it on the internet. We're trying to close that digital divide in different communities and to continue to live up to a progressive community.
It's not just a good thing to have a diverse workforce, it's an essential thing for making their business successful.
There are people who maybe want to sort of join this world, and we need to make sure that they have access and opportunity so that they can succeed.
So it's important to get a lot of diverse opinions and ideas from folks who come from those backgrounds, who know that audience, so we can better serve them.
You can't see yourself as something if you don't see it, if you've never seen it. And so, giving those people the opportunity and access, access is an important part of this. Show them the work that we're doing today so they're inspired to do it tomorrow.
The challenge of digital equity for us was an opportunity to meet people where they are and try to, in a very limited period of time, show them how these tools can help them to thrive in a modern economy.
Any decision you're making, start with who's benefiting and who's being burdened by this. And if we have groups that are marginalized, that are experiencing marginalization, that are burdened by this decision, go back to the drawing board. Go back to those communities and ask, what is it that we're missing? What is it that you need?
And the only way that we're going to really solve the digital divide is if the whole community engages. If we each take one small step each day, we'll make a difference.
Thank you. In a little over 2 years since coalescing around the DEEP, we've come to realize that digital equity and inclusion is not a discrete area of practice. We have recognized the intersection of needs in various areas that affect residents excluded from digital participation. It's pretty amazing how far we've come, from initial discussions and needs assessment to a highly functioning coalition that has positive impacts in areas from public health to housing. As you can tell from our report, all of our strategic actions are on track, but there's more work to be done. Municipal broadband is being explored in the region, and members of the Digital Inclusion Network are engaged in this process. For many of our residents who cannot afford internet access at the rates it's currently offered, free access is still a necessary entry point. The DIN is building capacity for digital literacy training, connecting people with internet access and computers. Through this work, we continue to assess and ask who is excluded from digital society and why don't they use the internet. We know that cost, lack of accessible training opportunities in their language at good times and locations, lack of childcare and privacy concerns can be factors. We are working with our low-income housing partners and organizations that serve youth, people of color, immigrants, people with disabilities, people experiencing homelessness, and people in poverty. So we are constantly evolving the services to be responsive to community needs. Working within these realities, this year the Library, Free Geek, and Metro East Community Media taught 59 sessions of the Earn a Computer program at 8 locations, totaling over 1,000 training hours. 88 laptops were given away to participants. Participants like the Central City Concern participant from Alaska, who needed to get online to get his Texas birth certificate to get an Oregon ID. He hopes to start a construction business. Through the program, he connected with his kids in Alaska and became a Central Library patron. He has since come in for help with his Android device and email. Classes like his were available in 5 languages through translation and native speaking instructors, including Somali, Spanish, Russian, Karen, and English. And some participants who spoke English also spoke Arabic, Aramaic, French, Kirundi, Oromo, and more. We plan to distribute 150 computers this year through 13 cohorts and a new self-paced pilot with Home Forward, where participants will choose training at their level, location, language, and best time. In the coming year, we are also planning to engage the community about their needs to inform future digital equity planning. And now we'd like to invite some Digital Inclusion Network members up to share their perspectives.
Very good. And I show we have Iphany Bell from Open Signal, Julie Reeder from the State of Oregon WIC program, Nandini Ranganathan from PNCA Make Think Code, and Sashi Wirawaradina from Human Solutions Community Works Projects. Did I get that right? Give or take? If not, come up and introduce yourself, and we're glad to have you here. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. I guess I'll start off.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for allowing us to come here today. My name is Iphany Bell, and I'm the executive producer at Open Signal Labs. We've begun a pretty ambitious project over at Open Signal. We've started an incubator, an experimental incubator program that is designed to support African-American filmmakers in developing networks, creative networks that support inclusion in our creative film, television, and broadcast industries here in Portland. One of the big challenges for filmmakers here locally is not only a technological one, but a social one. The film and television industry is largely dominated by relationships, and sometimes cracking those relationships and getting access to individuals and ideas and the structures necessary to succeed economically in that particular field. Those are very critical barriers. Not only are there technological and educational component to being successful in that field, but those two elements of, you know, being in the right place at the right time, knowing the right people, all those things contribute to how well you're able to progress in this particular industry. So this Open Signal Labs program is designed to support six filmmakers who are local from Portland here in advancing their careers in this particular space. The program will last for a year. It is a pilot program that we wish to build on in subsequent years to continue to build a cohort model around this idea to create a pipeline of access and opportunity. The program received initial funding from the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, which was very critical in the launch of this program. We've also gotten support from the Collins Foundation, the Oregon Community Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, Advanced Broadcast Solutions, and the Portland Film Office. These partners, as well as many others who we're looking to target and to help support the program in subsequent years, I look forward very much to actually working with other partners like the Multnomah County Library and many other organizations like the Oregon Film Office and individuals as well to help support this particular initiative. I think that it's very clear how film and television intersects with digital equity in the sense that a lot of these, I mean, obviously there are digital applications involved in the process of making films and working in broadcast and dealing with translating creative ideas into this very digital space, this increasingly digital space, as we recognize that most of our access to a lot of these stories and ideas are increasingly becoming a part of the internet. And not only do we want to get access to the end use of these particular stories in this concept, but we want to get people involved in creating these stories and developing content and creativity that is authentic to the experiences of people of color here in the Pacific Northwest. And I think that one of the things we're really excited about is that we have the opportunity to work with these filmmakers to help promote a perspective of Portland that I think many people here locally and also nationally and internationally don't often get to see. That's one of the, personally, one of my very important aspects of this program is to begin to share with people outside of this community and within this community some of these stories and some of these ideas. Let's see. Lastly, I think that this program is like I said before, I think I mentioned that this program is a cohort model, and we want to make sure that this program is sustainable for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. We appreciate your being here.
Oh, Hello, everybody. I'm Nandini Ranganathan. I'm the executive director of Make Think Code at PNCA, the Pacific Northwest College of Art. We run an interdisciplinary art technology lab that's open to the community. I'm here to speak about the incredibly important work being done by the Digital Inclusion Network. We've been members of the DIN for the last couple of years and attended the DIN Summit this spring. And as a result of this work, we've been able to build really valuable sort of partnerships and collaborations with community groups, with educational institutions, with technology groups as well. And I want to highlight a couple of examples of the work we've done and are doing and how these partnerships help. This summer, we were really excited to partner with Metro East Community Media to create a week-long series of workshops called Make Think Media for youth in East Portland. These workshops included sort of games, electronics and microcontrollers, playing with laser cutter fabrication technologies, virtual reality. And the students were really incredibly excited and to experiment with and play with these technologies. And I think it's really essential that that our students and our youth can see themselves as creators and in this industry rather than just users of the end products of these industries. And access to spaces, to the resources and education, to the technology is really, really important throughout their sort of education. And we're hoping to continue with this partnership over the year. And I want to really talk about how fluency in these technologies, in future emerging technologies, is really essential to prepare our community for the careers in the future. Access to not just digital sort of networks, but access to creative tools that allow them to design networks, design technology that is relevant to their communities rather than to technology designed by and for others that then they're allowed to use. Another partnership I wanted to highlight was we met with Mozilla at the DIN Summit. They were one of the sponsors of the summit, and they were really excited about the work that the DIN was doing and wanted to be more involved. And we've been working with them to offer workshops in various kinds of web and network coding technologies, and also creating open source augmented reality web experiences. So an important mission for us as Make Think Code, but also as a community, I think the tech community in Portland is really excited about sort of open source technology and democratizing technology. And I think the DIN allows us to sort of bring various groups, including sort of tech industry, in to start working on these things. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to be hosting with Mozilla and with some of our other DIN partners a series of technology, civil rights, and community events from January 7th to 20th next year. And likely an annual event. We're going to have workshops on digital privacy for community groups, workshops on data science, creative coding, and also conversations on how we use technology to increase voter participation and engagement. So starting to use data analytics, machine learning to start really getting community engagement. And then the last thing we want to do is start doing a Wikipedia edit-a-thon to make Wikipedia a more inclusive and representative resource for various communities. So these are just a couple of examples, and I know many of the groups are doing amazing work, but I think I wanted to point out that what the DIN is doing is creating this really impressive collaborative ecosystem of organizations that provide access to this technology, information, and expertise needed to thrive in this very digital and network world. We're excited, we're really grateful, and really honored to be part of this group, and we're looking forward to seeing what we can do together as this collaborative community.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Sachi Veerawardhana. I'm a workforce specialist and data supervisor with the Community Works Project and Human Solutions. Thank you for this opportunity today. So the Community Works Project is a coalition of six nonprofit agencies in Portland, and it's contracted with the Department of Human Services to provide job services to participants in the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. So we have a career center, and I was invited to the summit in May because a Human Solutions employee was not able to go. So when I got the invite, I didn't really know what I was going to. Digital Inclusion Network sounded interesting, and I was excited. This was at a time when I would come up with impromptu classes for the refugee immigrant participants in our program and try to show people how to log into a Windows computer. So being at the summit and being exposed to the panel on education, employment, and just health disparities, I was fascinated. It was the first time I had seen Mayor Ted Wheeler in person. The speech was very inspiring to me, so thank you. It's thank nice you. To know that we are connected because our day-to-day nonprofit work sometimes. It's hard to see how me trying to show a woman from Kenya to use a computer or touch a mouse can connect to the bigger holistic picture of what we are trying to do as a network and community. So I was invited to the DIN meetings monthly after I was gushing to Rebecca about how amazing the summit was for me. I walked away with 6 pages of notes, which I didn't bring today for this, but I did learn a lot. And I think the important piece for me to share with you today is that the DIN, the impact on me as an individual direct service provider to people trying to search for jobs is that we forget the things that we take for granted and the things that the impact that cannot be measured by the tech experts here in the room. Because last week I was sitting down with someone and trying to show them how a mouse works, not to use Rosetta Stone on the computer, but just when you move it around, the pointer moves, is something that I don't think about. As so the digital equity, it's hard to explain in words, but I am at the forefront of seeing what we expect of a person to go to work and then be able to access their pay stub online, which employers say, oh, go ahead, you can print your W-2. So I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. Thank you to the DIN network. I am excited to see what partnerships can come out of this. There are limitless opportunities and potential in being able to know the people that exist in the community. So I hope this continues, and thank you so much.
Thank you for being here and sharing your experience. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Julie Reeder with the State of Oregon WIC program. The WIC program serves about 40% of all pregnant women in the state of Oregon each year and about 45 to 50% of all pregnant women nationally. We also serve about one in three children under the age of 5 each year. So we have tremendous reach. I think what's really benefited from being part of the DIN, one is my being able to bring some health angle into that. I think we sometimes think about digital inclusion and digital equity as fun things for kids, but certainly coming from my perspective from the health side of things, you know, digital equity and digital inclusion can really be a life or death matter. If all of you think about how you access healthcare now, right? It's largely going through your healthcare provider's portal. It's, you know, Googling, you know, sometimes to find information. It's also things like a car seat warranty and differences between if you mail it in, you only get a 6-month warranty, and if you get online, you get a 2-year warranty. And that really shouldn't be, should it? And so I think what really has benefited me is to have all the resources in the information, because I would say coming from the healthcare world, there's tons of talk about technology, but there's very little to no talk about digital inclusion and digital equity. I think that that's just not even on the radar for most groups. And so it's allowed me to say both statewide and nationally sometimes, hold on, you know, this is a wonderful new gadget, but who are we potentially unintentionally pushing behind? In WIC, there's an assumption that all WIC families are young and therefore they're digital natives and they already know how to do everything, but we don't realize that being smartphone dependent, which is often true for lower income families, not having broadband internet access at home really can impact your ability to access systems that increasingly are moving to these online portals, you know, to do everything, much less if you're not a native English speaker, if you don't have any type of, if you have limits on your data plan and so forth. So I think it's just really been an important piece for us to always have, I always have the latest information to bring forward to National WIC Association and other groups to really talk about that we need technology is wonderful, but let's do it with thought and intention to make sure that we're not actually pushing our most vulnerable populations further behind.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, all of you, for being here and sharing your experiences. We appreciate it very much. Thank you. Colleagues, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Udaly to accept the report. Carla, please call the roll.
Was there some more invited speakers?
Oh, did we skip somebody? I apologize.
Yes, we had a few more.
I apologize. It was not on my program. Please come on up. Sorry for that.
It's Sam Pastrick, Tim Goodman, Seth Ring, Neely Yoshi, and Hector Dominguez.
Welcome. Thank you. Sorry for jumping the gun on that.
Good morning.
Morning.
For the record, my name is Sam Pastrick, Outreach Manager at Oregon Citizens Utility Board. I'll make my comments very brief here. All of them relate in some way to fostering and or the promotion of city policy to address digital inequity. Am I ringing here?
If you just push the mic a little farther away, maybe. It's very sensitive. Thank you.
There you go. The first point is that CUB is a consistent outside advocate for both digital equity, the Digital Equity Action Plan, or DEAP, and also the Office for Community Technology. Representing CUB, I've attended the inaugural Digital Inclusion Summit in 2014 and was an early Digital Inclusion Network member. And certainly, while not a primary author, I did actively participate in two of the three community-led strategic planning workshops to create the DEAP during the fall of 2015. Since that time, I've testified before council, you all, on several occasions to highlight the work in the city either around digital equity and inclusion or information and communications technology policy more generally. Frequently, I've leveraged my time before council to encourage timely and strategic action, city action, to not only address digital inequity, but also think and plan more holistically about technology policy by emboldening OCT, and this message certainly bears repeating today. Last Tuesday, council wisely rejected wholly inappropriate meddling on the part of the Federal Communications Commission into local government affairs as they relate to negotiations with wireless carriers in their accessing the public rights of way. The resolution was savvy, and it was timely action, certainly. And CUB is genuinely pleased to see Portland join with other cities as they confront really bad FCC policy. Yet certain other cities, San Jose in particular, had proactively already negotiated robust public benefits packages that included needed funds for digital equity work. To be blunt, while the city's action is certainly laudable, it also does, I think, highlight an absence of proactive and coordinated leadership around information and communications technology planning and oversight. And this, I'm afraid, is a symptom, a direct symptom of OCT's until very recent low level within the city's governance structure. Point being, Portland, City of Portland, not San Jose, should really lead the nation in funding digital equity work because, frankly, it's much easier to defend settled contract than bring suit against a federal agency like the FCC. So if I can leave you all with one key takeaway, it's that advancing digital equity work requires proactive, fast action against both the onslaught of disruptive technology that's already on our doorstep today, but also that which is surely headed our way in the coming years. To sort through and usher these really complex public policy implications, Portland needs an emboldened and proactive OCT. CUB was and still very much is encouraged by OCT's move last month to a more elevated location within the city's governance structure, and we're cautiously optimistic that the move does reflect a new strategic direction on the part of the city, and that OCT, with council's support, continues to bolster Portland's reputation as a digital equity leader. Thank you.
Hi there, I'm Seth Ring with Metro East Community Media. I'm our Director of Education and Volunteers. I work at Metro East proper in Gresham, but I also work at Rockwood DIY, which stands for Digital Inclusion and Youth, which is out in Gresham as well, but on the very fringe. A lot of the video that you saw, the B-roll in there, was actually from classes that we give. I think you might have seen me dual-wielding some smartphones. And speaking of smartphones, let me see if I can pull it up. I actually have a picture of me and Ted Wheeler. I don't know if you remember this.
You look good.
This is Dia de los Muertos, and I like to tell people about me and my homeboy Ted Wheeler, so thanks for that. And this does have a point that I will get to later. I've learned a lot of things teaching the Welcome to Computers class at Rockwood DIY. That mukulal means cat in Somali. Spicebo means thank you in Russian. I learned that from our smartphones for seniors class, which we taught in Russian. And I learned that I should understand a Somalian mother who doesn't want her kid in our music video camp because music was banned for a period of time in Somalia. All this, and I thought I was the teacher. Yesterday, I attended a forum on transgender inclusion in the workplace. I learned this type of change starts at the top. And this is getting back to that photo. I think it's really important, the work that you guys are doing, and I appreciate it. I want you guys to thank you guys for understanding that digital inclusion is a real issue that requires financial and political resources, and to sort of reaffirm what was said earlier. And that your support goes a long way towards empowering underrepresented groups in Multnomah County. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm Neely. I'm the founder and executive director of Outside the Frame. We train homeless and marginalized youth in how to make movies. I haven't had coffee yet. We'll see what comes out. But what I woke up with today is plastics, my boy, plastics. Right? Digital inclusion is the future, as it was in The Graduate, as plastics was in The Graduate all those years ago. You give a homeless kid a camera and let them tell their story on their own terms and get that story out there, and the young person is changed forever, but more importantly, the people that see it are also changed forever. Statistics can't change anybody's mind, but seeing somebody talk to you from the heart will. And these are the best tools that we can give these young people to bring them into the fold and make them the great citizens that they have the potential and definitely the desire to be. It works not just with homeless youth. I came this morning from an alternative school alliance at Benson, where we're teaching a workshop. Day one, I was dismayed. 20 kids, like, staring at me, staring at their phones. But we're on the last day. They were there early to, like, edit their pieces and finish them. Incredible. This year, we've shown that this isn't just a personal passion or, like, I'm not the only one that thinks this. You know, we've worked with Oregon State University and Trauma Informed Oregon and Portland Art Museum and some other places I'm forgetting, who have put these young people to work. We got them hooked, and now they're continuing to work with our fine, fine institutions. So through digital equity, Portland can be a leader in this as well as in all the other things that we're so progressive and a model to the rest of the nation for. And having being able to be part of this digital inclusion network and sit at the table with, like, the people doing this work obviously makes us all more than the sum of our parts. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners. My name is Tim Goodman. I'm Director of Government Affairs for Comcast for the company's Oregon Southwest Washington region. First of all, I would like to commend the city's staff from the Office of Cable and Technology for not just doing a job, but for the passion they have for closing the digital divide. They go above and beyond. It's something they truly care about, and it shows in all of our interactions, whether it's meetings or one-on-one meetings. So I just want to express that gratitude for what they put in helping close the divide. Just a few quick comments from Comcast. We're excited to continue our partnership with the city and the other jurisdictions of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Committee in closing the digital divide. One of those means is through our Internet Essentials program, which is a program for low-income individuals where we provide low-cost internet for $9.95 a month. We have now connected over 100,000 Oregonians in the past 7.5 years through that program. We're excited to continue the evolvement of that. Just in the past 60 days, we've included low-income veterans as eligible participants in that program. We're piloting a program for low-income seniors in Seattle. We're also piloting a program for homeless students in a school district in Vancouver, where we're working with the district to provide internet for those who don't have a consistent and static place to live and go home to, so that they're always connected through our Wi-Fi network. So that said, I have one little plug. Comcast this year is again the presenting sponsor of the Portland Film Festival, which begins on October 22nd. So if you're available for one of the events, please come out and join all the other great folks for a great event. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good morning.
Good morning. Right. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Hector Dominguez. I'm the Open Data Coordinator for the Smart Cities program in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I am a proud member of the Digital Inclusion Network, where definitely is, I'm really proud to be part of that network and share and learn from all these different organizations. Our open data program is definitely having the benefit of being part of this organized entity. Just for the learning, but also for any forbidding any future initiatives that our work in open data is constantly having. For instance, right now we are in a journey around privacy and data protection, and we are moving towards having a better and more community engagement when we relied on this network and those communities to get that connection with our different communities in the city. In addition to that, the Digital Equity Action Plan has played a really critical role on guiding our Smart Cities Priorities Framework, which is the first cornerstone for our work, and the second is privacy. Challenges ahead for our communities are not trivial. Considering the needs for developing internal capacity and training for what the future of work looks like. The Digital Inclusion Network will become an even important entity to promote technology literacy in emerging fields of technology like big data, artificial intelligence, smart devices, clean energy, cloud-based manufacturing, and other industrial opportunities that rely on information. The Digital Inclusion Network can actually play a central part on bringing all those that have been left behind to the front road and take advantage of all those opportunities. Just to finish, an empowered and informed society is less vulnerable to all this digital abuse that we have been hearing recently. And we can definitely capitalize all together in what technology has to offer.
Thank you very much. And does that complete? That completes it. Very good. So we have the motion on the table. It's seconded. Carla, please call the roll. Thank you for your testimony.
You Daly.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming today, and thank you for the vital work that you're doing. I want to congratulate you on being on track with 100% of your strategic actions. We don't necessarily hear that all the time at City Council. Your work is very closely aligned with and essential to the work that we're doing in the Office of Community and Civic Life, so we certainly look forward to working with you. I want to agree with Mr. Pasternak that the Office of Community Technology really needs to continue to be elevated. They have a standing invitation to join my bureau. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I also want to rise to the challenge of meeting or exceeding San Jose, because I really don't like hearing about other cities that are doing a better job than we are in this arena. I'm committed to helping move the digital equity agenda forward through PBOT, which is my other bureau, and which is, you know, obviously involved in negotiations around our new wireless network, specifically 5G, and just want to reiterate that digital inclusion is a moral and economic imperative for Portland. It's a fundamental equity issue. When I look at these numbers of who participated in the Free Geek, Free Computer program, you know, not surprisingly, we see communities of color overrepresented in this group, but what was especially striking to me is that 43% of the people who participated have no high school education, and how vital it is for that population of people to have free, easy, constant access to the internet, where they can access free college programs, and also the household income. Nearly 90% of these individuals were earning less than $30,000 a year, which we know is about half of what you need to earn to live here comfortably. So we're reaching a really vulnerable, underserved group of people, and I'm really happy to see that. So finally, I'll vote aye.
Fritz. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. What a great presentation. Thank you to everybody who participated. I'm really excited about this work. I started the Digital Equity Inclusion Plan under Mayor Sam Adams. Commissioner Saltzman was the one who brought it to Council under Mayor Hales. Commissioner Saltzman's longtime Chief of Staff, Brendan Finn, and mine, Tim Crail, were both very involved in creating it. Thanks to Comcast for funding that plan and for making, and in particular for funding the outreach to underrepresented and underserved communities, so that the plan itself is based on what do the people most affected want and need, rather than what do we think they need. And so I'm really excited for how it's working out. Thank you to previous Director David Olson and Deputy Director Mary Beth Henry. Mary Beth was in the video, and I think she encapsulated it very well, that we cannot afford to not do this. It's too expensive to leave people out. And so I'm very grateful that we're working on this. Thanks to Metro East for a really brilliant video. Thank you. That was really inspiring. Thanks to Open Signal for carrying Channel 30 every week, and for our, collectively those two being the community media nonprofits that really help make this happen. Thank you to the Office for Community Technology, specifically Julio Melchuk and Rebecca Gibbons. Great presentation. I concur that it needs to be a standalone bureau, not within any other bureau, because it is so important. And it's managed well under the previous system, but it's going to return to its former glories as a standalone, and I'm very excited about that. Appreciate Multnomah County and the Library District for your partnership, and also the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. I was struck during the video that there was probably a lot of people watching on Channel 30, like my parents-in-law who live at Cherrywood Village. Hi, Mom and Dad. Some of whom are remarkably good at technology, as are my parents-in-law, and others like me who need a son or daughter or somebody to tell them, have you tried unplugging it, Mum? I've got that one now, but I do need help. And so, unfortunately, our Catlin Gable students had to leave, but I hope the Office for Community Technology staff will reach out to that class and invite them to be volunteers, because I think it's the kind of thing that it's not necessary. I noticed in the video folks diligently writing down step by step. Then something goes wrong, and if you're like me, it's like, now what do I do? So it would be nice to have more volunteers. There's obviously a lot of time and talents that are available in the community. Such great community partnerships. I'm sure others thought, I could help teach that. I could help fund that. So please call 823-4000 and they will connect you with the Office for Community Technology and volunteer, because this is something that is vital for our whole community and it's a really exciting thing that everybody can benefit from. Aye.
Fish?
Well, it's a great report, and I and my colleagues learned a lot this morning, so thanks to everyone who joined us. I have one pet peeve, and I start with a compliment. When we talk about removing barriers, one way we remove barriers is we make sure that reports that we issue are legible to people over the age of 50. And in fact, the font used in this, I think, is the correct font. But I would just say that on page 1 and on page 5, it defaults to really very small font. And I would add a page in lieu of trying to cram everything on a page, because the truth is that people over 50 can't read the most important page of your report, which is progress. So with that PSA, I just want to say I thought it was an outstanding report. And today is a day of firsts. For some of you who were here earlier, we had someone who showed up for council communications that testified that the city was doing something right, so that was a first. And then we had someone during this presentation that took out their smartphone and showed a picture of Ted Wheeler, and that's a first. So I think we've got something to build on today.
He admitted that in public, no less.
Getting the Mozart concerto.
The Mozart concerto is interesting, and when we get the demand in the mail from the attorneys for the producers of that video asking for royalties, then we'll take that up with our friend. But this is really good work. And I have two kids, one who lives at home, who's age 14, who is, and my son is really smart about technology, unlike his dad. And whenever I have a problem, he helps me through it. And when I have a problem with my phone or my computer, it's extremely frustrating, because not only are you disconnected from the internet and from the sources of information, but for those of us who live busy lives, it's hard to find the time to fix the problem. So thinking about a future where we democratize access to technology, and we also make it easier for people to get the training and support they need to be effective with technology is really important. So thank you for your good work, Mayor. Thank you for this presentation. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Julie and Rebecca for their leadership on this effort. It's been very impressive that you've developed a plan and then come back, I don't know if it's a year later, but it seems like about a year later, and actually tell us you actually have completed a lot of the items, action items. That's really good. And I think one of those action items that has really benefited our city and the work of the Office for Community Technology in general is helping our fire bureau to be digitally included. They now, thanks to grants through the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, have all the stations fully online, and which often surprises people to know that they didn't before. So thank you for your help in that regard, and thank you for the good work. Aye.
Wheeler.
I first want to thank the staff and guests who made their presentations today. They were great presentations, and I think we heard a very, very good composite of all the benefits of this kind of program, and I want to thank you for all your work in year two of DEEP. Digital equity, of course, means having access to affordable, high-speed internet, a device to connect, and the know-how to navigate in a digital world, which is, of course, what we all live in today. As Commissioner Udaly and I recently expressed to the Bureau of Transportation, the Office for Community Technology and other bureaus, digital inclusion, I believe, is a moral and economic imperative for the city of Portland. We recognize this across city bureaus and commissioners' offices in the work that we all collectively do as a city, evolving and growing our city and adapting how we serve our residents is an ever-increasing digital society. While many of us understand the value of technology and have the means to access it, there's still way too many of our residents and neighbors who do not. And for these residents who often represent some of our most vulnerable populations, I believe it is really important that we come together to identify and how we can best reach and serve them. And that's what this program continues to do and what it will continue to do in the future. So thanks to all of you. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you.